We're going to open up worship with, Lord, I lift your name on high. How we are to enter into the presence of God. And I pray that's what we do this morning. In Psalm 100, David says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Know the Lord is, he is God. It is he who made us. It is he, and we are his people and the sheep of his field. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks and bless his holy name. The Lord God is good. The Lord is steadfast. His love endures forever, and he is faithful to all generations. Amen. That is the God we serve this morning. Amen. We all bow your heads. We open up with prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, that you are faithful to all generations, and your love endures forever, God. I thank you and I praise you. And I thank you and thank you that you endure me. You know, I can be a tough guy sometimes, Lord, and I thank you that you endure me. And Lord, I ask an anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon our worship this morning, God. We want to bring glory and honor to your name, Lord. And Lord, I ask you a special anointing upon Larry as he brings your word. Speak powerfully through him, the anointing and power of your Holy Spirit and the word that you have for us this morning. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Y'all may be seated. I'm sorry. Yep. Just for a second. So,
this is just going to hit you like a ton of bricks. It's this time. The Christmas shoe boxes, they are out and they are ready for you to pick up and to be filled. We have to have these all back in here by November 10th. And I assume that's a Sunday, right, Leslie? Sunday, November 10th. So these shoe boxes are in the back there. You can pick them up. They're stacked up on the table back there. But let's knock it out of the park this year, all right? We know that the world has great needs, but the greatest need, even though there's going to be all kinds of gifts in this box, the one thing that goes along with this box is the gospel. So we ask that you pick one of these up, and, you know, fill it up. There's directions that you can follow. You should find this in your bulletin. So we ask that you let's do this. Let's get on board and let's get these out, and let's make Leslie run out of boxes. Amen. Amen, right? All right. Yeah. Do what?
Full boxes.
Yeah. Let's. Yeah. Just don't take a box. Bring it back full. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be a good idea. Yeah. Also, we took up an offering for the disaster relief, and I know that some of you have asked how that went. We collected $5,320 to go to disaster relief. So glory to God for that. Five what? Or 5230. I get it inverted. 5,230. So praise God for that. And I know that there's desperate need for all of that. So thank you all for supporting that work. And as always, I need to tell you, read your bulletin. Sign-up sheet coming for the annual birthday dinner. Some people are saying, what is that? And I'm like, that's the annual birthday dinner. What's that? Well, you got winter, spring, summer, and fall. You sign your name if you would like to come to that, which we pray that you do come. And that's, we have one annual birthday celebration here at the church. So sign under the season that your birthday falls in, okay? And then we can get a count of how many is coming. So read your bulletin. Thank you.
You all please stand. We continue worshiping God this morning.
Your eyes.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Now, I went and watched my grandson, 4 years old, play baseball the other day. And his mother has to walk him around the field, right? And I was just thinking, you know, that's kind of like us sometimes. Yeah, he wouldn't go out in the field by himself. But when his mom goes out in the field with him, and she's standing beside him and still loving him and everything, that kid still plays ball. And that's kind of how God deals with us, isn't it? Amen. Amen.
You give life, you are.
kindness and your goodness and your mercy. Because, Lord, we know that they are forever. Lord, we are so undeserving. But, Lord, you are good. And you are kind. And you are merciful. So, Father, we ask, Lord, for all those things to be outpoured on us today. Lord, we've come into this place to worship, to lift up your name. We've come to lift up your word. And Lord, we have brought so many things into this building with us. But Lord, we ask that you will overcome our hearts, our thoughts, and our minds, Lord. And that we will be focused on you and you alone. So Lord, we just ask your blessings up on this service. We ask your blessings up on those who are represented here today. Lord, we all have needs and desires that we long for, but Lord, we pray that you would give only those which come according to your will. So Lord, we just come and give you this praise offering, an offering of love that you so greatly deserve. And Lord, as we come to a part of worship of giving back to you, a portion of which you first have given to us, Lord, we ask that you take these gifts. You will bless them and you will multiply them for your kingdom good, your kingdom work. And Lord, as always, if I'm going to say something that is out of context or out of your will, Lord, I pray that you would silence me and not allow me to speak those things. Why? Because, Lord, I'm here to lift you up, not myself. I'm here to glorify you and not me. So, Lord, I pray that you would have this worship service, the singing, the giving, the listening to your word. It will be impactful to our lives, and we will be changed because of it. I pray this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Welcome. Glad that you are here. If you have them, your Bibles with you, say, I got it. You got your phone or whatever device that you're using. Open up to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. In this series, we have been focusing on when things in life don't go as planned. When changes happen that catch you off guard. Could be changes in your job, changes in your financial situation, changes in your family life on some degree, changes in your health, changes in your relationships, things that we may not have planned for, things that may have been unexpected, but it is still happening or has happened. And we don't know what to do. We often find ourselves in situations like this and we just don't know what to do. And what we have been and what we've been learning is that we need to be obedient. No matter what is happening, be obedient and trust God. That's the overarching thing of Joshua. But what happens when you screw up? What happens when you fail miserably? What then? I know some of you know what I'm talking about. You've just failed and you know you have failed miserably. What do you do when that happens? What do you do? Have you ever heard the expression, if you fall off the horse, you got to get back on? Well, the phrase is actually an idiom. The actual phrase is, get back on the horse that bucked you, or get back on the horse that threw you. Now, let me tell you what that means. This is what that means. It means this: if you fall off the horse, you've got to get back on. Profound, right? That was really profound right there, right? If you fall off the horse, get back on. It means if you attempt something and fail, you've got to try immediately and immediately confront the failure and try again. Now, these things can happen in all sorts of areas in your life where you fail God or you just fail at something in life. And every time I think of this, it reminds me of the time when I worked for Mansueto Roofing and I was their crane operator, and I flipped the crane over, completely over. It was very, very, yes, extremely so. It was a very bad accident. And let me tell you what the hardest thing for me to do was to get back up on that crane, the new one, and start operating. Because every time that weight shifted, I would hold on really tight. It caused me. Why? Because I was afraid of failure again. That's what happens. And that's where we are in the book of Joshua. Israel has failed and they need to try again. Now we are in chapter 7 of Joshua. That's where we left off, So what happened? Well, the Israelites were defeated by Ai, and they had just come out of this tremendous victory at Jericho. They followed God's instruction to a T. God told them what to do, and they followed it to a T. And just as God said, the walls fell down. The city of Jericho was taken by Israel. And then after that tremendous all-God victory, they scattered out. They went and they scattered out the city of Ai. They determined it wasn't a great risk. So they went. So they sent a few thousand men up there because they didn't think it was going to be a big deal. So they sent a few thousand men up there to take over Ai. And what happened? Ai defeated them, right? The Israelites barely made it up to the city, and Ai sent them running for their lives, and 36 men lost their lives. So how did they lose in what appeared to be an easy battle? You know, sometimes we think some battles in our life aren't that big until molehills become mountains. But how did it lose? Well, you all know, right? Sin. Sin happened, right? One man's sin, one man's disobedience affected the entire nation. One man's. And when I think about this, it makes me afraid to think of what will happen to this nation one day. So what was the sin? Well, God told the nation of Israel, he says, hey, when you go up to Jericho, when they took Jericho, he said to go take that city. He said, but do not take a single thing out of that city. He says, don't take anything from it. But as we know, one man did. And his name was Achan, right? Achan thought it would be a good idea to take a king's robe and some silver and gold. Seems like something that really wouldn't be that big of a deal in the scheme of all that they could have taken. Achan just took a few things. It was just little personal stuff for himself. But it was a big deal to God. It was a big deal because Achan was disobedient. He did exactly what God said not to do. And the entire nation, because of that, the entire nation suffered for it. Just like when Adam and Eve ate a piece of fruit in direct disobedience to God, and all of mankind has suffered for that to this very day. So that church is where we are, and that church should get our attention. It should make our ears perk up. So now let's move forward from here. So what do you do when you just fail miserably? How do you get back on the horse? Well, that's exactly what I want you to see in Joshua chapter 8, that when you are in the midst of stuff, when you're in the midst of life-changing stuff, when you're in the midst of things that have taken a turn that you didn't expect, and in working through that, you fail miserably. So what do you do at that point? Does God just give up on you? Is that what you think happens, that God just gives up on you? Do you just quit trying? Is that what you do? Do you throw your hands up and just simply walk away and say, I'm not going to do that anymore? I'm done with this. I've tried to follow the Lord and I've failed miserably. It's humiliating and I've embarrassed myself. So what do you do in the midst of a failure? Well, we saw that 2 weeks ago when we looked at the sin and the tremendous failure in the life of one man and how it affected and impacted everyone else. And a lot of times we walk out of here and we think that's not fair. Why did God do that to everybody when it was just one man's sin? Well, let me tell you something. All of us are not responsible for some of the violence going on in the world right now. We're not violent people. Most of us are not violent people. We're not responsible for all the violence going on in the world right now. But you know what? We are all suffering because of it, right? We all feel the effects of that. There are times when people will do certain things and it will create suffering for everybody else. And we've talked about that. You all know what I'm saying, right? And all of us will suffer at times. Well, Israel suffered, the whole nation of the Hebrews, the Israelites suffered because of one man's sin, and it had a huge impact. So what do you do personally when you fail? What do you do personally when you fail? How do people treat you? How have you been treated by others in the midst of failure? Well, I can tell you how people will treat you. I will tell you what will happen. They will criticize. There are always people who will stand around when you fail, when you sin, when you make a mistake, or when you fall. They will criticize you. In fact, you don't even have to fail. They'll just criticize you anyway. You remember Job's friends? When Job was in trouble, his friends, they did nothing but criticize him. So listen, there's always an element that will criticize you. There always will be. I'm guilty of it at times, and so are you probably. There are always an element that will criticize you. There's always an element of people who will overanalyze you, and then they'll ostracize you. They'll just cut you off. They'll seal you off. We're not going to let you back in here. We're not going to let you be a part anymore. We are going to marginalize you. We're going to ostracize you. We're going to isolate you and keep you off at a distance. And so many times that happens in the church and it happens in our families as well. But the real question is this: what does God do with you? What does God do with you? It's not what does the church people do, but what does God do with you when you fail, when you fall on your face, when there is sin in your life? What does God do with you? Well, look at what God does with Joshua and with the Hebrews in Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. First of all, notice that God offers encouragement. He comes and he offers Joshua encouragement. Now, you all remember what God told Joshua in chapter 7. He told Joshua this in verse 13, Joshua 7, 13. He says, you have got to sanctify yourselves. You've got to clean yourselves up. There's sin in the camp. And remember, Joshua fell on his face and started praying, and God showed up as he's falling on his face before God. God shows up and said, oh, Joshua, get up. What are you doing down there on your face? God says, listen, Joshua, there's sin in this camp. You need to get up and go deal with the sin, because I'll not give you my blessing. I'll not give you my presence. I'll not lead you. You're not having victory as long as there is sin in your life. Now let me tell you, that is God's word to us individually. Right there. That's God's word to us individually. Not just collectively, but individually, as long as there is sin in your life and you try to hide it, you try to conceal it, you try to cover it up. And Solomon, listen, Solomon gives you the answer to that in Proverbs 28 in verse 13. Look what he says. Look what he says. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. There's that word but. There's either a warning or a promise coming, right? He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Now let me tell you something. When you come to the Lord broken, that's a thing that's coming by the wayside, it seems like, that where Christians don't come before the Lord broken. You have to come before the Lord brokenhearted in your sin, and you come and you say, God, I need to get clean. God, I need your help. Understand this truth. There is mercy in the Lord. There is compassion in our God. We have this idea, that this, the old whack-a-mole theory again, that we think God is up there just waiting. Oh, he's going to mess up. Smash. I'm not wearing my watch this week, so we're good. We don't have a whack-a-mole God like that. He's not waiting for you to mess up so he can smash you. That's not the way our God works. That's not what he's doing. Our God is rooting for you. He's rooting for you to overcome. He's rooting for you to come to him for that help, right? And so, he tells Joshua, listen, if you want my presence, you want my leadership, you want my blessings, you've got to deal with the sin. And you know what? Joshua does that very thing. And then, when that is done, you can draw close to the Lord. So what he's saying here, look, he's saying, look, you come fall on your face before me, you seek me, I'm going to come close to you. Now listen, these two things are critical in your life as a believer. They are critical in the church, they are critical with God's people. But when you do that, when you come to him for a cleansing, a forgiveness, when you come to him for a cleansing, and let me let you in on something, there is nothing you can do about your sin. On your own. There's nothing you can do about your sin. You owe a debt that you cannot pay. There's nothing you do about sin other than this. You come and you confess it. You just come before the Lord and you say, Lord, I confess it. I'm wrong. I've done wrong. You're right, Lord, and I have sinned. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard to do. And then that's when you will begin, but when you do that, that's when you'll begin to draw close to the Lord. When you get yourself into that position, that's when you will begin to draw close to the Lord. Look at what he does. Look what he does. In the midst of that failure, where there is embarrassment and humiliation, the Lord comes and look, he doesn't do what other people do. Listen, I am thankful that God doesn't treat me the way other people treat me. He comes to me with encouragement. He comes to me, he wants to build me up. He doesn't want to push me down. He wants to build me up. Chapter 8, verse 1, look what it says. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Do you remember that's what God told him over and over in the very first chapter? Do you remember how discouraged Joshua was? Do you remember back in chapter 7, verse 7, Joshua prayed a prayer that is totally un-Joshua? It is unlike Joshua at all. In verse 7, Joshua says, alas, Lord. And I shared with you last week, that's really not a word, it's an expression, oh, Lord. And every time that word is used in the Old Testament, it is connected with the proper noun of the Lord. It's somebody always going, oh, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Have you ever done that? Has there ever been a time in your life that you've ever done that? Listen, I know I've done it plenty of times, and I'm guessing you have too. So Joshua just comes and he says, oh, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us in the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? So that sounds like 40 years of belly aching of the Hebrews in the wilderness right there. That's what they were doing. They were just constantly complaining about that. Now, but watch. Now, Joshua never said that when they were in the wilderness. Joshua never once said that. But the people did. You brought us out of Egypt just to make us starve. You brought us out of Egypt just so we would be killed. Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Now, if only we had stayed there. That's exactly what the Hebrews said. If we had just stayed in Egypt. And so here is Joshua. He's in despair. He's in discouragement. And the Lord comes in, right? We've ever been there. We've ever been in despair, been in discouragement. And the Lord comes to him and says, get yourself clean and get yourself close to me. But you know what we often do when that despair and discouragement comes? We run the other way. We go the other way. But he comes to Joshua, and he comes with a word of encouragement. And he's saying, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, don't despair. Understand this. No matter where you are at in your life, especially if you've fallen off the horse, that's where you're at maybe right now in your life. No matter where you're at, though, but maybe you've fallen off the horse, God is not out to get you. He's out to restore you. We have to get that in our heads. He's out to restore you, but you must seek him. And once you start seeking him, then what you have to do, then God will come, right? God will come with this. He will come with a word of instruction to you because I'm seeking him. I've fallen in confession. I'm seeking the Lord, and now he's going to come. Watch, he's going to come with a word of instruction. I have to be seeking God before I can get an instruction from God. In the midst of failure, when I have failed miserably, what I need is a word of instruction. Tell me what to do, God. Just tell me what to do. You ever, husbands, I'm going to pick on the wives a little bit. Your wives are talking and talking. They want this, they want that. They're talking this and that. And you're just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do and I'll go do it. I tell that to my wife. Just tell me what you want. Right? That's what we want from God. A lot of us, if we are on, that's what we're looking for. God, just tell me what to do. We want it out written out on a slate, right? We want it out here so we can see it, right? In the midst of failure, when I have failed miserably, what I need is a word of instruction. Tell me what to do, Lord. Tell me what to do. Now, how many of you are sitting here this morning, you've come to church, and that has been your prayer since you walked into this place? Lord, I need your direction. I need you to tell me what to do. I've got a decision that I've got to make about this job, about this house, about our finances, about that car, what I'm going to do about these kids, what I'm going to do about this relationship. Lord, please tell me what to do. Well, listen to me. God comes and he says this, still in Joshua 8, verse 1. Look, take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. So God comes with a word of instruction. This is what you do. But now notice he comes with a word next of assurance. And I'm going to get back to this instruction. But notice next thing, he comes with this word of assurance. And this is what God told him back before the battle of Jericho. He said, look, still in verse 1. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. Now, that's exactly what God told Joshua in chapter 6, verse 2, when he said, I've given Jericho to you, its king and its mighty men of valor. It's the exact same thing. And now, Ai, I've given all of this to you. All of this is certain. You are going to have victory, so you go and you follow my instruction. You're going to take it. You're going to win. You're going to have victory. Go, do this. But isn't it often difficult for us to follow God's instruction? Think about this. Just think about this for a second. They just got their clocks cleaned at Ai. And 36 men died. And God's instruction for them is, go back. Go back. Get back on your horse. Go back. Maybe there's something in your life that the Lord's telling you, go back. I messed that up. Well, you need to go back. I'm telling you personally, it's often difficult to follow the Lord's instruction. It's hard to follow His commands. But you're going to find out something. When you do, He will lead you to victory. When you follow His commands, He will lead you to victory. Now, I don't know what all of that looks like in your life. I don't know what that means. But I know that if I'm following God's will in my life, I'm following His word in my life, He will lead me in victory. He will lead me in blessing. Listen, it is so critical to stay close to the Lord. We need to stay clean and we need to stay close. That's been my prayer for most of my Christian life. Lord, keep me from this sin. Keep me from sin. Protect my faith, Lord. Do not allow my faith to falter. Keep me clean, Lord, and keep me close, Lord. Why? Why would I pray that? Because when I'm close, I'm more likely to be clean. When I'm walking with the Lord, I'm close to the Lord, and I'm seeking the Lord, that's the times in my life when I'm going to be clean. But when I'm not close and I'm not clean, when I'm not close, it's more likely that I'm not going to be clean before the Lord. Why? Because my flesh is going to creep up in there every single time. When I'm not close, this is when failure comes to the life of a believer. And so I've prayed. I've not always had success. I'm just like you. I've prayed. I've not always had success, but I have called out on God. Oh, God. Ah, God. I want to be clean before You. And I want to be close to You. Why? Because staying close to the Lord does something. Staying close to the Lord makes an unbelievable difference. Staying close to the Lord brings clarity to the mission, and it brings clarity to the circumstances of my life. Now, I was talking to a brother here not too long ago. He says, you know, when I was in the battle, I couldn't see. He says, but now that I've remained faithful, when I look back, he says, I can see it clearly. It brings clarity, right? Staying close brings clarity. So what I need to do is to do what God is telling me to do. That's a profound message right there. All I need to do is to do what God is telling me to do. You all came here for that right there. In the midst of this failure, in the midst of this I messed up moment, listen, the truth is we all have I messed up moments, amen? I mean, let's be honest, right? We all had I messed up moments. But when I have figured out that I have done wrong in the sight of the Lord, and I have confessed it, and I have repented, I have turned away from it, and I want to draw close to the Lord, the Bible tells us this in James 4:8, you draw close to Him and He'll what? What will He do? He says, you draw close to me and what? I'll draw close to you. Now listen, that's a promise. That's not from me. That's from the Lord. That's a promise. You draw close to Him, He draws close to you. And in doing that, listen, I get clarity about the mission. I get clarity about the issues in my life. Now that's where I would like to stop this morning. You're like, what? This is where I'd like to stop this morning. And next week we'll talk a little more about the clarity of mission. Because I think this is a good spot for us as a church to reflect on just this very passage. And let me tell you why I think that is. There are many, just like me and you, right, that are in here today that are in the middle of a I messed up moment. And you don't know what to do. You don't know how you got yourself into this mess in the first place. And you don't know how to get out of it either. And you are just going through the motions. You are just walking through each day, one foot in front of the other, but going nowhere. Anybody ever felt like that? Listen, I have. Why are you doing that? Why is that happening? Here's why. Because you're not sure where to go. You're not sure where to go. You're not sure what to do next. You're in a mess and you need some help. So this morning, right now, at this moment, I'm going to give you all the opportunity to get it straightened up. And this is the very first step. This is the instruction. This is the first step. Tell God about it. Tell God about it. Christians, I'm talking to some of you. There's a lot of messed up stuff that's going on inside of Christian homes and inside our Christian lives. You all have some junk hidden deep in the middle of your tent. And you think no one knows, but let me tell you something, God knows. And whether you realize it or not, you carry it around like a lead weight. It's weighting you down. It's holding you back. You can't grasp that victory. And listen, it's affecting you and it's affecting those around you. And remember, sin never just affects the sinner. It has a wide path of destruction. Kind of like the hurricane, right? Wide path of destruction. And remember this, one nation suffered because of one man's sin. So you need to get that junk out of your tent. This tent right here. You need to get that junk out of your tent. You need to dig it up and get it out of there. And you bring it right up here, or bring it before the Lord right where you're at. I don't care, but you can bring it up here and you confess it before a holy God. Or you grab a hold of me or someone else who's up here and you confess it before us. And you know what we'll do? We'll partner with you. We will pray with you and for you. And we will walk with you for as long as it takes. As long as you'll let us. And there's a problem there. A lot of times we get ourselves as Christians in messes that we don't know how to get out of, but we won't allow anybody else to walk with us. Is that what God wants us to do as a family? No. Remember, we are your family. We are here to help you, to love on you, to hold you accountable at times, and to make it through this and to help you be stronger and better for it. And listen to me. I don't want you to just say, yeah, I did it. That's exactly what Achan did. He said, yeah, I did it. But with true confession comes repentance. For true sorrow, repentance, true sorrow, a heart sorrow, a spiritual sorrow brings true repentance. If you're just sorry that you got caught or sorry that you got bad circumstances in your life, no, no, no. Look, I'm seeking God. There's something wrong. I need to confess it. Yes, I did this, God. Please forgive me and help me take this out of my life. Help me never to be here again, Lord. Help me to overcome, Lord. For on my own, I don't know about you, but for on my own, Lord, I will continue to fail. On my own, I'll continue to fail. So I need your help, Lord. Why do you need your help? You need His help to help you to defeat that enemy in your heart, the sin. You need Him to draw close to Him. And when you draw close to Him, He will draw close to you. And listen, those are His words, they're not mine. That's His promise, not mine. Draw close to Him and He will draw close to you. I'm going to close, I promise, but I want to show you the opposite of what I'm telling you, saith the Lord. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. When you refuse to confess and repent, he who covers his sins will not prosper.